Let me tell you about my friends and the neighborhood in which we lived. We've all grown up and moved away. Perhaps you live there now. Mr. Potts is no longer afraid. Nettie liked to take her box of paints and her favorite brush and her fat roll of paper into the jungle. She brought the tray from the kitchen to lean on, the one with the birds painted on it. The jungle was what she called the overgrown allotments that lay beyond their back garden fence. Once, in the moonlight, she had seen a badger in the allotments from her bedroom window. She wanted to paint a badger, but she knew this one would never stop to pose for her. Boys came here sometimes to throw stones at rats, but there were never any rats. There were too many cats and dogs and foxes in the neighborhood. She wasn't interested in painting boys. These boys were like dogs when they met each other. There could be a sudden row, or fun and wrestling and chasing. There was nothing they liked better than to get a chase from Mr. Potts. He would come out of his shed, waving his cricket bat high above his head, and they would run through the bushes and undergrowth and scramble over the wall. Today, Nettie wasn't interested in the boys or what Mr. Potts was up to. There was something big and quiet in the undergrowth. It was making a swishing sound. Once in a while, there was another noise. It was a creak or a belch. She wasn't sure which. A short time later, when she was painting a spider in its web, she thought she saw an elephant's bottom. But when she looked again, it was gone. Mr. Potts had told her to look out for an elephant, but she thought he was just being silly. She climbed the tree at the center of the allotments. She shaded her eyes and searched with great concentration, but could see no elephant. Then she felt something brush against her leg. When she looked down, she thought she saw an elephant's trunk. She nearly fell from the branches. When she had steadied herself and looked again, it was gone. "I've just seen an elephant," Nettie said to her mother, who was busy at her computer. "That's nice, dear," her mother replied. "Don't you want to know where I saw it?"
"Where did you see it, Nettie? On the telly?"
"No, in the jungle."
"Our jungle?" her mother asked, sounding not at all surprised.
"Yes, in there."
"You should tell your dad. He'd want to know."
So Nettie went to her dad. It was his turn to wash the dishes. When Nettie went into the kitchen, he was blowing into a rubber glove.
"Dad, I've just seen an elephant."
The rubber fingers were inside out. Her dad made them pop the right way out.
"Lovely animals, elephants," he said.
"Don't you want to know where I saw it?" Nettie squeaked.
"Was it a herd of elephants?" her dad asked. "Elephants like to stick together."
"I saw it in our jungle."
"What? Our jungle?"
"Yes."
"Well, that's nice, isn't it? Did you tell Bertram?"
"No."
"Oh, I'm sure he'd want to know."
"Well, I'll tell him right away."
"Remember to call him Mr. Potts."
"I will." Back in another time, when he was not alone, when there was somebody who sang to him, somebody he could cuddle, Mr. Potts was a smartly dressed man with neat hair and polished shoes and glasses that weren't cracked. He used to whistle and read books aloud to anyone who would listen, and he liked to drink fizzy beer in a deck chair in his back garden and tickle his wife's toes when she got annoyed with him. But now, the house was closed up, and Mr. Potts spent most of his time in his allotment shed. Luckily, he liked tinned sardines, because that was what he ate most nights before he went to bed. People didn't come around much anymore. One by one, the allotments had been abandoned. That seemed to suit grumpy old Potts, who looked like a tramp, though Nettie's mother told her never to call him that. Nettie went to Mr. Potts and knocked on his door.
Who is it? Mr. Potts barked.
It's me,
Nettie said, forgetting to introduce herself fully. Fortunately, Mr. Potts recognized the voice. He opened the door so suddenly, Nettie nearly tumbled backwards, but she was a brave girl and didn't run away.
Ah, you, said Mr. Potts. You are...
Before he could come out with her name, Nettie shouted it out.
Ah, yes, said Mr. Potts. Nettie, I've heard your mother calling for you over the fence.
I've just seen an elephant, she blurted out.
Have you? He said, not at all surprised. In here, was it?
Over there, behind the raspberries.
What do you want me to do about it?
I just thought you should know.
Nettie was a little bit disappointed that her news did not come as a shock. Mr. Potts's tone softened. He crouched down so that his face was level with hers.
Well, it is good of you to think of me. I'll keep an eye out.
That made Nettie feel a little better.
Do you think he knows he's not supposed to be here? She asked.
If I see him, I'll ask, he said.
Then he added,
he might be a she.
Yes,
Nettie agreed enthusiastically.
He might.
Or, she wondered, should she have said, she might be a she.
You haven't been at my raspberries, have you? Mr. Potts asked.
Me? Nettie said in alarm. No.
She put her hands on her hips.
Ask the elephant.
Fog spread through the neighborhood. In the allotments, it curled around the tree, over the upturned wheelbarrow, and passed through the old scarecrow, which was made of straw. Mr. Potts was out of his shed looking for the elephant. Just once he saw her trunk, which was pointing up and was sniffing the air, but the trunk soon disappeared. It was a strange day. The fog lifted, and in the evening dark clouds rolled across the sky, and it began to rain heavily. Nettie quietly put on her coat and snuck out of the house and into the allotments. She wanted to help Mr. Potts find the elephant. He seemed lost without the big, wrinkly animal. Nettie stood on her tiptoes and looked through the window of the shed. Her mouth and eyes opened wide. What she saw was Mr. Potts in bed with an elephant beside him. The elephant had most of the bed. Its trunk was wrapped around Mr. Potts and kept him from falling out of bed onto the floor. Potts was asleep, but looked very cross. The elephant was snoring. The next day Nettie was in the allotments, Mr. Potts watched her paint.
That looks good, he said after a very long time.
I'd like to paint your elephant, she said.
Well, you can't, he replied. She won't show herself for painting. You might hear her, but you won't see her for any length of time.
I have heard her, but she doesn't make loud elephant sounds.
She doesn't sound her trumpet, Mr. Potts declared.
She makes a burping noise, said Nettie.
Burt. I thought she was calling my name.
Burt?
Bertram, actually.
But she wasn't? Asked Nettie.
She was just farting.
Mr. Potts looked at Nettie, and Nettie looked at Bertram Potts. Then she burst out laughing. She laughed so hard it made Mr. Potts laugh, just for a moment. Then he got cross again.
Bertram, he insisted. Only my wife called me Bert.
Bertram, Nettie repeated. But she burst out laughing again, and Mr. Potts smiled.
You can call me Bert if you want, Nettie, he said. But nobody else.
Bert, she repeated.
When Mr. Potts was pushed out of his bed by the elephant, he was annoyed, but he knew it wasn't the elephant's fault for being the size she was or wanting to keep warm with him under the covers. However, something had to be done. But what?
He sat on his broken chair outside his shed and thought. It began to rain, but he stayed where he was. It rained and rained. Raindrops fell from his eyelashes, his fingers, his ears, the tip of his nose, the pointy bit of his beard. Drip, drip, drip. And still, he sat there thinking. Nettie saw Bert from her bedroom window. She put on her coat and went to visit. "Don't you have any other clothes?" Nettie asked.
"I do," said Bert.
"You should put them on straight away," she insisted.
"They're on the scarecrow," he told her.
Nettie looked at the clothes that were hanging on the scarecrow. They were soaking too, and were even more ragged than what he was wearing.
"That won't do, Bert," said Nettie,
and went home to borrow her dad's brown suit for Mr. Potts. When Nettie told her dad about her and Mr. Potts going to visit some people about the elephant, her dad offered to drive them in his car. Mr. Potts had a wash and a shave before putting on the brown suit. When he looked in the mirror, he hardly recognized himself. Nettie's dad drove them to the optician. He parked outside and stayed in the car to watch for clampers.
"Oh, dear," said the optician when she saw Mr. Potts' broken glasses.
"Haven't you a second pair?" she asked.
"I lost them."
"How did these break?"
she asked.
"An elephant sat on them," he replied.
Oh dear," said the optician.
"I'll make you a new pair."
"Will you test my eyes again?" said Mr. Potts. "I need to know if I'm seeing things that aren't there."
The optician tested his eyes.
"Don't you want to know about the elephant?"
Nettie asked.
"Well, of course I do," said the optician. "If you are Mr. Potts, will tell me."
So Nettie told her about Mr. Potts' elephant in the overgrown allotments. The optician was so surprised that her eyebrows rose above the frames of her glasses.
"I'll bring you new glasses when they're ready," she told Mr. Potts. "I'd like to see your elephant."
Without realizing, Mr. Potts nodded his heavy head in a way that made him look like an elephant nodding. Nettie's dad drove them to the police station and parked outside. He stayed in the car because the police station was very small.
"I have an elephant," said Mr. Potts.
"Good for you," replied the desk sergeant. "How can I help?"
"It's not my elephant," said Mr. Potts.
"Oh!
Has anybody reported a missing elephant?"
The sergeant moved slowly to his computer. He typed in, "missing elephant."
"No," he said. "No reports of a missing elephant."
"I was afraid of that," said Mr. Potts.
"We could make a report. One stray elephant found. We could put that on the computer and see if anybody responds."
"Yes, please," said Mr. Potts.
"Now, we'll start with a description. Colour of elephant?"
"Grey," said Mr. Potts.
"Does he have a name?"
"No."
"Does he come to a whistle?"
"No. And I think he is a she."
"One female elephant, grey," the sergeant typed as he spoke. "You haven't got her with you, have you?" he asked, peering around behind Nettie and Mr. Potts.
"No," replied Mr. Potts.
"And where are you located?"
Nettie helped with all the details. She gave the address and a description of the overgrown allotments.
"I know the place," said the sergeant. "Sounds like an attractive spot for an elephant. I'll send somebody round."
Nettie's dad drove them to the zoo and parked outside. He stayed in the car because he was used to staying in the car.
"I have an elephant," Mr. Potts said to the zookeeper.
"I have 5 of them," replied the keeper.
"Mine is a stray," said Mr. Potts. "I don't know why she came to me," he said sadly. "I was hoping she belonged to the zoo."
The keeper counted his elephants again, just to be sure. Then he said,
"I'll have a word with them."
He gathered his elephants into a circle and spoke in a low voice. The elephants looked to each other and shook their heads. Nobody knew anything about the stray elephant. The keeper came back to Nettie and Mr. Potts.
"I'd like to come over to your place and see this elephant,"
he said. "Please do," said Mr. Potts. And while he gazed at the five zoo elephants, Nettie gave the zookeeper the address and described the overgrown allotments.
"Don't worry about a thing, Mr. Potts," the keeper said. "If it comes to it, we have room for six here."
It was Saturday again. Mr. Potts was standing outside his shed, looking a bit lost. Nettie came to visit with her paint box, fat roll of paper, and the bird tray from the kitchen.
"Hello, Bert," she said.
"Hello, Nettie," he replied.
"I'm going to paint," she said.
She didn't say what she would paint.
"You go ahead," said Bert, without asking what she would like to paint.
Then Mr. Potts had three surprise visitors, the optician, the police sergeant, and the zookeeper. He didn't recognize them at first. The optician wasn't in her white coat, the sergeant wasn't in his uniform, and the zookeeper wasn't wearing his overalls. They were dressed for gardening.
"Where's this elephant?" the sergeant asked.
"In there somewhere, I expect," said Mr. Potts, pointing to the bushes.
"Have you any gardening tools?" the optician asked.
"I don't know where," Mr. Potts said, scratching his head and looking about.
"They're behind the shed," Nettie said, gladly.
They got the tools, and they all began to work. Nettie's mum and dad came through the garden gate and joined in. By the end of the day, Mr. Potts could barely recognize the allotments. There was so much space and light. There was no sign of the elephant.
"No elephant," said Nettie, shaking her head in wonder.
"Ah, well," said the zookeeper cheerily.
"Ah, well," said Mr. Potts, without sounding sad. He thanked his friends for all their hard work.
Nettie wanted to honor the new Mr. Potts. She would paint a sign on a piece of wood that read, "Bert's Allotment."
"Can you call it Millicent's Garden?" Bert asked.
Nettie said that she could, but she wasn't sure how to spell the name.
"You can call her Millie," Bert said, and smiled. Nettie could spell that.
Nettie's mum invited Bert in for tea.
"Have you any sardines?" he asked.
The Neighbourhood. 9 Linked Radio Stories for Children by Philip Davison. Read by Kieran Hines. Produced for RTE Junior Radio by Brian Kenny. Made with the assistance of your license fee.